that song. Trying to help others to build a wall of prayer for them. Helping each other along. I remember years ago, I'll get to my lesson here in a minute. Lots of things have changed. I'm still a young man. But lots of things have changed. I remember very distinctly when I was lost and on an altar seeking God, that the people of the church gathered around that old altar. Now, I'll say this. They knew that that altar didn't have any virtue in it. It had no power in it. It was not capable of saving me. But they knew that if they could just gather in close enough, that they could build that wall of prayer around me to keep the influence and the devil out for just a little while. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish. As God's people, we can't save nobody. We don't have the power to do that. But our job and our desire to be to try to keep Satan out for as long as we can. There's a sign that's out there on Bowling Green Road that I pass a lot of times. It says, prayer works. And boy, prayer really works. It does. It does. It's an opportunity to commune with God and to pour our heart out to Him. And yet Jesus Christ maketh intercessions for us. He goes to the Father on our behalf. How wonderful is that, that we're able to speak to Him. This morning, I don't have a title, but I'm not afraid to tell you what's on my heart, and I don't know how long I'll be. Is there anything that needs to be said or done, maybe before we go any further in the service? Had this thought this week, and I have an interest and a desire in your prayers, and as always, I want to encourage you this morning that if God is dealing with you at any time throughout this message, I want you to feel free to seek the Lord. I want you to be saved. I want you to know this morning what it is to have the peace that God has put in my heart. I want you to know what it feels like to be able to humble yourself before an almighty God and pour out your heart to Him, no matter what comes in this life, and have faith and confidence in Him that He's going to do whatever it is that is beneficial. It may not go exactly the way that you thought it would go. It may be struggles and trials that you had to face throughout this life, but you certainly got somebody that's going to go with you through every bit of it. I want you to know and have that experience of salvation. So I encourage you this morning, if God gets to dealing with you, to seek the Lord. He's the only way that can take that pain away. Certainly this morning, I have an interest and desire in your prayers. I've heard it mentioned here several times. And not just here, throughout several of our churches, before the church called us to pastor, we were preaching and going around and doing filling appointments and different things, and would hear it throughout different congregations. And people would say, we need a burden for the lost. We need a burden. We need a burden. Folks, I'll rest assured to you today, as God's people, we need a burden. The world, as we talk about a lot of times, it has a opportunity, I guess. It seems so appealing to us that it can draw our focus off what's really important. And really and truly, what is important to me is, number one, honoring and glorifying God's name, which is in heaven. And then also doing the very best that we can to point others to Christ. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. Brother Collins made a statement the other day. He said, we are missionary Baptists, and we are. And that is our mission statement, if you will, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to spread the good news. We need a burden. A burden, if you will, is something by definition that it is something that is heavy. It is something that you carry. It is something that is laid upon you. Oftentimes, we don't want that responsibility as God's people. It seems like many times the load becomes too heavy for us. But this morning, I want to describe to you a little bit about that. We need a burden. I want to take our reading this morning out of Mark in the second chapter. And everything that we will bring to you this morning is very familiar scripture, but it is what God has laid upon our heart. Mark in the second chapter. I want to start in the second verse. It says, and straight away many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say unto the sick of palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I saith unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine house. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. And this morning, I'll have another piece of scripture here in a moment that I want to get to, but I want to focus on this for just a moment. Very familiar scripture, it says. Very familiar, all of us. It says Jesus was in a straight way, and they were gathered together, and there was so many there that there was no room. This man that was sick with palsy, that he had some friends, they had a need, if you will, to get him to Jesus. They knew that if they could just get him there, that Jesus would do the work. My friend, I want to make it very clear to you this morning. I've said here before, but I want to tell you each and every time that we enter in through those doors out there, that we should come into God's house expecting Him to do something big. We should come into His house believing and knowing before we ever enter in through those doors that if I can just get them here. To me, my friend, this morning, that's half the battle is just getting them here. Oftentimes, I know through my experience in speaking to those that are lost and even through my own family, I have prayed for them for many years and tried to encourage them to come into the house of God, and then finally one day they enter in. That's half the battle is getting them here. But I want you to know this morning that those friends of his, they had a desire that was in their heart. They said, if we can just get them to Jesus. Now, I want you to know that when they made their way there, there was obstacles that was standing in their way. There was the press. It was so many there that was gathered together. It would have been very easy for them to have backed out and said, "Well, my friend, that you that is sick with palsy, we've packed your bed this away. We've got you here, but there's nothing else that we can do for you." They could have very easily had said that. This morning I want you to know there's many excuses as God's people that we can use. This morning me and Jessica, we rolled out of bed and we stayed up a little late last night. I'll just be honest with you. And I looked over and I said, "Mama, I'm tired." She said, "I'm tired too." We put ourselves in these positions. We go through the work week and we're tired. This body is ailing and there's things that's standing in our way. We've got the work week. We've got our children. We've got ball games and t-ball. And we've got everything else that's going on throughout the world that are obstacles that are standing in our way. But these friends of his says, if we could just get them there. I know that if we could just get him there, that Jesus would heal him. My friend, I want to ask you this morning, how much confidence did we come here this morning believing that God can save our lost? I'm not talking about this morning them just getting here on the altar. Folks, I'm talking about God coming in here and cleaning our altars. You realize that God, I've heard people say in recent years, they say, you know, sinners has changed. Sinners is different than they used to be. Sinners hadn't changed. Sinners are still sinners. If sinners hasn't changed, and if God hasn't changed, who has changed? Lord help. I'm telling you, church, this morning that there's power here. There's power here that God has enabled us, that we are His disciples and He's called us out to do a work, and we can do nothing on our own. But when God comes in the matter and it's in, and we're in His will and we're doing things that honor and glorify His name, He will meet with us. Now listen, I said I've got a means to get my friend there. There were obstacles that were standing in their way. Now, they didn't just turn around and go home. But what does it say? It says that they began to, and when they could not come unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. My friend, these gentlemen, these men, they had a means to get him there, and when they got him there, they went to work. They didn't just come to sit around and watch the spectacle. They didn't just come around to say, "Well, maybe if we just sit out here, maybe he'll hear enough. Maybe Jesus will pass by." But they said, "No, I've got confidence that if I can lower his bed down right there to Jesus, that Jesus is going to do a work." They got busy. And they began to tear the roof off. Folks, I want you to know that that right there would have been out of the ordinary. Can you imagine what those people that were gathered together were thinking, sitting there watching this thing, and all of a sudden they're standing there, and Jesus is there in the presence, and all of a sudden the roof started to just be tore off. And here somebody began to lower this bed in. Can you imagine what people thought? Well, watch this spectacle going on. Folks, it may be things that may be out of our ordinary, that may be out of our comfort zone, but if Jesus is in the matter and He's leading us and He's guiding us, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. A lot of times when it comes to preaching, I get real nervous. And when it comes to singing, Brother Dawson, bless his heart, he sings about as pretty as, it sounds wonderful. We've got some talent here in this church. Piano players and singers. Brother Strode, talent. These young people's talented. I'm not talented in that way. A lot of times I'll sit up here, Lord, I don't want to sing. I don't want to do this, God. I don't want to do that. And you're sitting here saying, well, preacher, you're supposed to be encouraging us. Listen, I'm just a preacher. I ain't no different. And boy, I don't like to sing. But then finally, God gets in the matter and he says, yeah, you're going to sing. Sometimes we have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. These people were packing a burden. They were packing a bed. They had that load that was upon them, and yet not only did they try to pack it through the front door, but they hoisted it up on the roof. This morning, I want to ask you, did you pack your load here this morning? Did you pack your load this morning? We talk about it a lot of times, and listen to me this morning. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but we talk about it. But my friend, listen, sometimes we got to put feet on the prayers that we're praying. I'm telling you, sometimes we can pray about it and we can pray about it and don't ever get out of the will of God. But my friend, I remember this here a while back, and prayer is so important. It's essential. I remember one time a preacher friend of mine described to me. He said, listen. He said, we can pray all day long for the widow woman down here that needs a rick of wood. He told me this in country lingo, I guess you could say. He said, we can pray for her that she needs a rick of wood. And he said, we serve a God big enough to deliver her that rick of wood. But he said, also, he said, God can take you to go cut that rick of wood and deliver it to her house. And he said, did God still not give her a rick of wood? Sometimes we got to put feet on our prayers. Sometimes God has given us the utterance to say, well, listen, we need to do this or we need to do that. Folks, I'm telling you that when God gives us a burden, he instills it upon us and it becomes a load that we pack and that we carry. I have went to revivals and I have prayed for these that are lost. And you know, whenever I've left them revivals, them lost people, that burden that I had for them, that didn't just disappear. That wasn't something that just faded out in a few days. I'd call their pastors and inquire about them from time to time. Well, what about so-and-so? Has he made a move? What about so-and-so? Is she making a move? And then it'd be a couple of years, maybe would go by. He'd call me up on the phone and say, brother, I thought you'd want to know. So-and-so told us this morning that they got saved. When God gives you a burden for something, and then he passes by, and he fulfills the thing that you've been packing around, you talk about a blessing that will stick with you throughout all of your life. Now listen. He says, they let down the bed therein, the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. A lot of times people says they have a hard time with that. It says, Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want you to know this morning that we do not have the power to save our lost people. We don't. There's going to come a day, I've told y'all before, if time stands long enough, that my boys are going to come up to me and say, Daddy, we're lost. And when that time comes, I want you to know this morning that there won't be anything in the world that Daddy can do for them. Nothing but pray for them. To build that wall of prayer around them. But I want you to know this morning that I want to be in a place that when I come through those doors or wherever it is, that I've got confidence in God that he's going to save them. I'm not just merely going through the motions of anything, folks, but I'm telling you, I've got confidence that when we come through those doors, that God is going to move in a big and mighty way. Now listen, I want to read this over here. I want to go to Romans. I look at the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, being a Pharisee that he was, growing up, coming from the tribe of Benjamin, having all the learning, the schooling, being educated that he was. Stephen, standing there, testifying, spreading the gospel, if you will, spreading the good news. And as Saul stood there holding the coats, there's not a doubt in my mind that that had an effect on Saul or Paul. It pricked his heart. And as he was on the road to Damascus, we know that he was brought down. After that point, he became a changed man. And he had a desire in his heart for his people. And I want to read this over here in the 9th chapter of Romans. He says in the first verse, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness, me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continue sorrow in my heart. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the glory of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. And I want to read this one more verse over here in the 10th chapter in the first verse. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God that Israel is that they might be saved. Paul says, I say a truth in Christ. I lie not. He says, I speak it in the Holy Ghost. I speak it in the Holy Spirit. He says, I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. Those of Israel that was lost, they didn't just get on his heart on Sunday morning from 11 to 12 o'clock. He said, I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow. It was something there that was constant upon him. It was something there that was heavy upon his heart. It was something there that troubled him. Church, I'm telling you, I thank God for them old saints years ago that would get around me and that prayed for me, that when I was lost, they had a desire in their heart to know that I was going where they was going. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm talking about getting a burden that crawls in bed with you at night. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever experienced that? I'm telling you, I'm talking about something that all of a sudden you're laying there and you just can't get no peace about it. And it's just sitting there and it's stewing on your heart and God's just dealing with you over it. And then you got to get out of the bed and you got to make your way down on your knees because it's so heavy. It's right here. It's laying right here on your heart. And you got to get down and seek God that He might intervene. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I'm telling you, that's the kind of conviction. That's the kind of desire that we need for our lost people. Listen to me this morning. Look around. Look around at the crowd. Is there anybody here this morning that you could say within yourself, well, I could live with myself if I didn't see them in heaven? Every soul this morning is worth salvation. Every one of them. Jesus Christ died for all men, every one of them, everywhere. I'm telling you this morning, we need a burden, God's people. We need a burden. And I'm not talking about one that we just come in through the doors on Sunday morning and say, well, here it is. I'm telling you, what if it was your children? What if it was your grandchildren? What if it was your stepchildren, your nieces, your nephews? Wouldn't you want to see them saved? I'm telling you, get something on your heart that goes to bed with you at night. I'm telling you, something that'll pull you out that when you're at work on Monday morning, that you got to get off by yourself and say, God, would you save them? I want to see them saved one day after a while. I've got to know, God, that they're going to heaven one day. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm trying to tell you about. That's the kind of burden, church, that we need. I'm telling you, the same burden that years ago that the folks over there that was gathered around me when I was lost, that they wanted to see me saved. That's the kind of burden that I'm talking about. Paul said, he said, I lie not. He said, I speak a truth. He said, I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow. Was there not moments of great happiness in Paul's life? Sure there was. Sure there was. But he said, yet this is something that still goes with me. Church, I'm telling you, I know the things of the world have the opportunity to grab our attention. But let's not lose sight or lose focus of what God has given us to do. And that's to point people to Christ. To come in here on Sunday morning and to exalt His holy name and to lift Him up that lost people might see Him, that they might want to seek Him. And you say, well, preacher, they just won't move. Well, church, let's just keep lifting His name up. I still believe in old time conviction. What is that that I'm talking about? We use terminologies a lot of times. What is conviction? It's guilt. They see themselves as a sinner for what they are. Honey, I believe God's got to convict them. We need to start praying for old time conviction. That God might convict sinners. That they see themselves. That we not be a stumbling block to these lost. Let's not be the obstacle that's standing in the way. But let's be willing to get up on the roof and tear away the shingles if God asks us to do that. You say, well, preacher, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. You don't think that those people over there thought they was crazy when they started to tear away the shingles? But his friends said, I've got a need to get him to Jesus. If I can just get them there, I know that my Lord will fix him. Sometimes it takes time. It's all in God's time. I remember years ago I'd preach and my mother was lost and I would talk to her and I'd think, Lord, why won't she move? And finally, it come down to the point one day I just had to give it all over to God and say, God, you handle this. And you know what he did? 15 years later, he handled it. But I never stopped my very best trying to point her to Christ. I didn't cram it down her throat every opportunity I see her, but if the Lord give me utterance to talk to her about it, I would. Listen. He said, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, folks oftentimes have a hard time with this verse. And I'll just tell you kind of the way I see it. Paul in the 8th chapter said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, nothing. But Paul's statement here, he said, if it would save them, I would be willing. I've heard people all of my life stand up and testify and say, you know, if it would take my life, if it would take this, if it would take that for them to be saved, I'd be willing to do it. I've heard them all of my life say that. I think about Jessica's granddaddy over there. She had a family member that had been lost for a long, long time. We never knew anything about it. And on her granddaddy's deathbed, this person finally got it figured out what was going on right here. 30 years later. And you say, well, that's awful. I don't think it would have been nothing that would have made her granddaddy any happier to have known that that person that was lost now knew that they had been saved. I'm telling you, I believe in my heart when he closed his eyes in death and he entered into his reward, he was happy and thrilled. I don't know this morning. I don't know where we all stand. Whether it would take that or not, but I'll tell you this. I'm thankful this morning that it doesn't take my life because there was one that came. And that's what Paul says. He says, I'd be accursed from Christ. He said, but I would for my kinsmen. He said, for my brothers. According to the flesh. Folks, I want you to know something. These Israelites, they hated him. They wanted to take his life. They wanted him to die. But yet he said, if it must take my life to be accursed from Christ, he said, I'd be willing to do it that Israel might be saved. He said, if it would do that, he said, I'd be willing. Folks, I'm telling you, even our worst enemy, we need to be praying for that they might be saved. I don't want nobody to go to hell this morning. Nobody. And beyond that, not only them, but even our close relatives, I want them to go to heaven. But see, church, just as much as I'm relying on you one day after a while to be praying for my children, I know that you're relying on me to pray for your children now. What that means is just because your babies and grandbabies and your circle is all together, your circle's not unbroken anymore, doesn't mean that we get to stop working and laboring. But it means we need a burden. And if we don't have a burden, we need to ask God to give us one. Why is that? I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he said, Brother Cole, I feel pretty certain we're living in the last days. I don't know if we are or not. I suppose we are. But what I'll say is this, I don't know how much time we've got left. And it's my desire to see lost people saved. How's lost people going to get saved? They going to get saved feeling just as comfortable in home here? We've got to come in here with a burden on our heart for our lost. That God is going to move and that He's going to save. Church, I'm telling you, if you don't have that kind of burden that crawls in bed with you at night, we need it. We need it. If you can't get a burden for somebody in this church, get a burden for one of your family members. If you can't get a burden for that, get burdens for somebody. And start asking God to save them. Use you as a tool, whatever means that it is. That's our message this morning. I pray that it's a help to you. Brother Strode, if you would, get us a song. Our encouragement this morning is for you, if you don't know the Lord, that you would seek Him. Like I said, I believe it in all my heart. The Apostle Paul made the statement. He said, it's my heart's desire that Israel might be saved. This morning, that's my desire for you. I want you to be saved. I believe in my heart this church wants you to be saved. This morning, church, let's get busy. Let's get to work. I've heard people say all of my life, well, we have to pray the power down. The power is right here. God has given us just exactly what we need. He's planted it right here, the Spirit. That's what we need, church. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Let's do that. As we come in this morning, let's come in. Let's ask God to help us. Let's come into the altar, church. If you're hearing lost, will you come up with us? Would you come sing?